Okay, we're starting. Let's go.
All right, guys. Here we are. Parshas Vayeshev. Beginning of another amazing parsha.
Of course.
No problem. Okay. So let's start with the Siva Shalom. I'm going to bring in a little bit of Sas Emes tonight, too. A little bit later, maybe some other thoughts to try to pull this all together. So the parsha of Yosef, Yaakov, at the beginning of the parsha, says, Eva told us Yaakov Yosef, the birth of Yaakov, or who are Yosef? We point out Yosef as the, you know, seemingly the main one, right? So the Mepharshim explained, Medrash Rabbah explains, and Siva Shalom brings us down, that really all of the Shvatim are in the schus of Yosef. Because really Yaakov went to Laban to go to marry Rachel, right? And he was supposed to really marry her. And then the fatal switch happened. And it took a little while until finally he married Rachel and had Yosef. So all the other Shvatim really, the whole, how everything came about was because of Yosef. So that's why the Torah starts off, Eilu tolos Yaakov Yosef. Yosef is the cause for all of the children and all the births of Yaakov. Okay, that's what the Medrash says. Then we go even further. Another place in the Medrash says, the Mechilta of Shalach, Hayom Ra'av Ayonos, famous Medrash, that the sea, Kriyas Yamsuf, only happened in the schus of Yosef, the merit of Yosef. And Yosef, it saw the urn of Yosef, and then it split because really, we weren't worthy at that time. And the sea was planning to Hashem, Halolo of the Abodazar, Halolo of the Abodazar, they're both of the Abodazar, the Mitzvah and the Jews. So why are we doing anything here for Klai Yisrael? But then Hayom Ra Bayonos, it saw Bayonos in the Pasuk, Bayonos Ayesi Achus, in this week's Parsha. Right? Where Yosef runs away, right? He runs away, he flees, and he runs outside when he's tested with the Asian Potiphar. And the source of that, Klai Yisrael was saved. So really, the whole kiyum of Klai Yisrael, forget about just the Shvatim, the kiyum, the existence of Klai Yisrael is because of Yosef. That's why it says, Eilu tolos Yaakov Yosef. Yosef is the Iker. So we have to understand, what does that mean? Yosef is the main one, and actually Yosef is the meat of the Yisod, foundation, which everything is built on him. So what is that secret? What's the secret sauce of Yosef? That the Torah points out so much, and in the Midrashim, that our whole existence to come to being is because of him, our existence to be saved through Mitzrayim is because of him, and his connection to Yaakov is so close, that he's looked at as Eilu tolos Yaakov Yosef. So let's understand what Yosef is all about. That's number one. Number two, the meat of Yisod, as we said, that he is what's called Yisod, the foundation. What is Yisod? What does that mean? You know, we count through it when we go through Sfiras HaOmer and you see all the Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, we see all these things that we don't really know what they mean. Right? Let's understand, at least Yosef. Let's try one of them tonight. What is Yisod? What is the foundation? What is it that is essential for every one of us to learn in growing in our lives every day? As you are being older, we're growing. And I'm going to sidetrack to two more questions. Actually, three or four more, actually. But we'll start off with a couple other things. Just let's understand. So Yosef, the Iker, we said, there's something special about Yosef. But then again, there's a challenge that comes with that. As we see at the beginning of the parasha, says he was the Ben Zekunim Ulo, he was the Ben Zekunim to Yaakov, and the Targum Unglus explains Bar Chakim Ulei. Who's smart? Yosef, but more than Bar Chakim, he learned with him. And it says everything that he learned at Shem Ve'eva, Rashi says, he gave over to Yosef. So he learned, he had a special Tavrusim of Yosef. And we also know that he gave him the Kedoshim Tassim. He gave him a special clothing to wear. And we learn from the Gemara. The Gemara says, well, we learn from this, Leishana, you know, you shouldn't be showing favoritism, Bonim Ben Abonim, right? You know,
show any favoritism amongst your children.
Well, he did hear a voice telling you last week, though, when he put Yosef at the very end.
Okay, so the question is why? What's Yaakov doing?
Yaakov Avinu
is showing favoritism to Yosef. We just said Yosef is so important to the existence of Klai, so it's true. So we'll have to understand that, and we'll take away a message. But let's look at the story. It seems like Yaakov already saw something in Yosef right away, and he created a lot of tension because of that. So why did that have to happen? And what is it that he learned specifically the Torah of Shem Be'ever? He gave over to Yosef and not anybody else. What's the Shem Be'ever? We'll see. What that means exactly. Okay.
We're gonna get to
Daniel, of course. He has the dreams. And he tells his father all the dreams. And the Pasuk says for Avik Shamar Sadovar and Yaakov was watching. Rashi says Mamtin and Mitzapim Mosayobo, he was waiting and hoping when are the dreams gonna be fulfilled.
Yaakov was saying
that. Yaakov said that. That he was waiting, he wanted it to happen. What's going on? What is Yaakov seeing in these dreams? These dreams brought about so much by focus and by Israel. The fight between the brothers and the divide and selling him and getting rid of him. And yet in these dreams that everyone could about, Yaakov was waiting for those dreams to be fulfilled. Some magic is happening in these dreams. So we're going to understand this soon. Let's go a little bit further. So Hanukkah. Hashem is bringing down the Hanukkah. You're letting it to tonight because it goes together with what the Siva Shalom is going to be saying. And in Hanukkah, we find two terms, the Hoidos, the Halal, Shimcha Gavol, right? There's Hoidah and there's Halal. Thanking you, thank you, and praise. What's the real difference between the two? Is there a difference? See, Halal Hadar is just another word. You know, we have a little bit of a Masorah that Chazal don't just use different words just because. It's not just another, it's not just a synonym. Okay? Halal means something specific. Hadar means something specific. So what is it?
Thank you for this past and the praise for what you have this past.
Past, present, that could be one understanding. What else? Okay, Hadar's admission. Okay, so Hodah is admission, which would mean that even things maybe that, let me extrapolate from this, if we're thanking Hashem, even things that we don't seem so good, we admit that Hashem ultimately knows what's good for us, right? That's what Hodah would mean. We admit that we don't know everything. Halal is open praise. Like, everything's awesome. Everything is great. Everything's incredible. We see the beauty of Hashem. So now, the Sasevi says an interesting thing. He says that Halal and Hadar can get Yehuda and Yosef. The leadership of the Shvatim, Yehuda and Yosef, represent Halal and Hadar. But he does something a little strange. Because he says Halal represents Yosef, and Hadar represents Yehuda. And when you think about it, well, Hadar Yehuda seems to connect, but Halal and Yosef, one second, Yosef had the hardest life of anybody. He was thrown away from his home. He was driven away from his home. He was in a prison. He was tested. He was away from everybody. He had a hard, hard, hard life. And Yosef is Halal? It doesn't seem to match. What does the Sasevitz mean? So, let's understand. Okay, here we go. I'll come back to another piece of this Sasemis a little later as well. And we'll try this together with the Siva Shalom tonight. Tonight's a 2-for-1 special. You get the Siva Shalom and Sasemis together. Okay, we get both. We get a little bit of both. A little bit of both. A little kind of components. That's right, a little kind of components. Here we go. Okay, so let's try to understand again. We want to understand the greatness of Yosef. Let's review our questions. We want to understand the greatness of Yosef. That Klai Yisrael survives because of him. The meat of his sowed, what that means. As we just asked now from the Sasamas, it's Halal v'Hoidah. The Yosef is Halal. What does that mean? Yosef is Halal. And then just understanding how Yaakov treated Yosef special from the beginning, what's shining that? Where did that come from? And perhaps maybe starting there, understanding how Yaakov treated Yosef, what he saw in Yosef, will help us understand how Yosef built his life and how he becomes this amazing, incredible Yosef Hatzadik. So let's see. So the Talmud Unkus told us that the Torah from Shem to Avers will Yaakov give over to Yosef, right? So why that Torah? So Michael said right away, the Torah of Kolos. So let me be more specific at explaining what that means. When did Yaakov learn the Torah of Shem to Avers? Yaakov Kamenetsky's Atal asked this question a few weeks ago in the parish when Yaakov left home. Yaakov is ready at that point. How old is he? 63 years old. 63 years old. He's been learning his whole life. Each time Yosef Aholim. And just before he goes to 11th house, he took a detour. And for 14 years, he learned to change behavior. Took a slight detour for 14 years. That all, right? So everyone asks the question. You've been learning your whole life. What now? All of a sudden, let me go to Brisk. Let me go to Mirror. Let me go to another yeshiva. Like, why now? Why all of a sudden now is he going somewhere else to learn to go to Loventhal? And the answer of Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal says is because Shem Ve'Aver, Shem existed. When did it live? In the times of Noah. In the times of corruption, the times of a deceitful society. In a time where, and they survived, and they made it. Yaakov, this is his first time leaving the four walls of the Beis Medrash, so to speak, the four walls of his home. He's going out into the world to interact with the loved one who's going to give him a ride. He needs to know how to interact. He needs to know how to do that. He goes to Shem Ve'Aver to learn. Not just the Torah of Golos. To be more specific, the Torah of being able to survive outside of the Beis Medrash. One second. Let me say this clearly. Because there's a little question my father was showing me. So he asked me, in the end of the day, you have three avos and four imamos. It wasn't a shidduch crisis then. We could have had four and four, right? Why did it have to be three and four? Like, what happened here? The numbers are off. I mean, Hashem could have made it that there could have been that fourth forefather, four fathers literally, right? And four mothers. And that would have been perfect. Well, what happened? Where did we go off here? And Chazal tell us in many places, in many sources, and the Persian talk about this, that Esav was supposed to be that fourth person. And when Leah was saying that Esav is my lot and Yaakov is Rachel's lot, there's a real thing to that. There should have been two sons of Yitzchak, Yaakov and Esav, taking the place of the third and fourth forefathers of Klal Yisrael. Because really, and if you look at the process that Yaakov received when he took Esav's place, they were all process of Gashmi to materialism. Because there was supposed to be a Yisachar's Vilna relationship from the beginning. Klal Yisrael has different roles to play. There's someone learning in the Beis Medrash, and there's someone outside representing Klal Yisrael, making a kid in publicly, and supporting the one that's on the inside. Together, they're supposed to grow together. Yaakov and Esav should have been that model. Esav rejected it. And Esav said, it's not for me. So Yaakov, as he's called the Bechir Shabbos, the choicest of our forefathers, Yaakov takes two roles. He plays two fathers. The first 63 years of his life, he's learning in the Beis Medrash, and now it's time for me to go outside and learn a different role. He goes to Shem Ve'Aver to understand that he's now playing a dual role for Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael needs both. But he can't play that role forever. Because he's only one person. And Yaakov says, I have to give this role over. And in Yosef, his son, he saw the descendant, his oldest son from Rachel, he saw the potential there. That's the role. That's the person who's going to play that role to be that person in Klal Yisrael, to go out into the world and to make that Roshim in the world, that Kiddush Hashem in the world. And he learns specifically with him the Torah that he learned at Shem Ve'Aver. Doesn't say the Torah that he learned at home, but in his house. The Torah that he learned at Shem Ve'Aver he gave over to him because he wanted him to understand that you have the potential, you have that destiny to go into that position. You need to understand what you're going to face. Okay, so Yaakov, true, he pays special attention to anyone. What else? He gives him special clothing because he's going to be the person who goes out into the world, and he has to look a certain way too. You have to look the part.
You have to present yourself regally. You have to present yourself for what you are representing in the world. Okay, so one second. So let's understand. So, of course, Yaakov Avinu understood there was a destiny for Yosef. And that's why he gave him this, we'll call it the special attention. And perhaps, and I haven't seen this anywhere, so I'm just suggesting, that the one thing that seems to be missing here is that the brothers didn't fully understand what Yosef represented. And other Mepharshim explain this, Sassemis and others, that the brothers looked at Yosef as the outcast. He was the OTB. Okay, or to modern day terms, he was the off the derrick kid. He was someone who was different. He was acting differently than everybody else, and guess what? He was acting differently than everybody else because he was being trained differently than everybody else because he was playing a different role than everybody else in the future. And they saw him, one second, let's look back. They have a precedent. Abram had two sons, Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yitzchak had a Yaakov and Esau. Well, Yaakov's sons were looking, everybody looks to be just fine, and there's this one person who's acting very different than everybody else. And in their minds, they're looking at him as a threat to Klal Yisrael. It wasn't just saying. El Chas v'Chalila, to say the other, the Shvatim hated their brother for no reason or they had any curse. No, they were looking at the future of Klal Yisrael. The future of Klal Yisrael is at stake here. They saw someone playing a different role that they did not understand. And perhaps.
They should have talked to their dad. They really should have talked
to
their
dad. So, one second. That's where the problem was. For whatever reason, whether Yaakov communicated it to them or not, and they didn't want to hear it, they didn't fully understand what Yosef was all about. They didn't understand what Yosef was all about. And they drove him out of the house. Because they couldn't understand who he was. Yaakov understood who he was, and Yaakov invested in it. And actually, what does it say for other Shomer Sadova when I say Yaakov wanted the things to happen? Because Yaakov saw that that was the destiny of Yosef. He was going to be a king. He was going to be a leader. He was going to be out in the world and make that motion in the world and contribute his role that Klal Yisrael needed. Yaakov saw that. The brothers did. Okay, and why this didn't happen? I don't have an explanation for it, but I can just say the following. When Yaakov is able to invest so much in Yosef, because he understood who Yosef was, and he had to give him that training to be able to be the Yosef, who really ends up playing the role that Esau left. And he plays that other forefather. And think about it. Yosef is the only Shevet that has Shvatim himself. Ephraim and Menashe. Right? He has Shvatim. How do you have Shvatim? Well, he's on the level of Anav, the Arachayim says, because he elevated himself. He played the role of a forefather. He took Esau's role. He took that role that Yaakov was playing temporarily and gave it over to Yosef to be that foundation for Klal Yisrael. So Yosef is not just another Shevet. Yosef is the foundation of Klal Yisrael, fulfilling the four. Now we understand what Yisod is a little bit. Yisod means foundation. Yosef completed the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Yosef is the one who, without him, we would not have a complete Klal Yisrael. We need the Yosef of the world to lead us as well. And he was tested in many ways, but he held firm to who he was supposed to be. He was still Yosef HaTzadik, even though he was tempted and outside of the world with different temptations, he was able to be the same Yosef that took what he had in the Beis Medrash and took it out into the world and acted the same way. And that's why Yosef connects us even more. Yosef, his name is Addition. He adds, besides what we learned in the Beis Medrash, there's an additional thing that's added. How we walk outside of the Beis Medrash. We learn Torah, but we don't just learn to learn. We learn to live Torah. And that's what Yosef represents. He goes out into the world and he's able to show what a person outside can be like and how he can withstand challenges and how he can grow in his tzitzkus, in his dveikus b'Hashem. But how did he really do it? What was the secret? The secret of Yisod, the Nesir Hashem tells us to follow. Just everywhere. All. In Sukkot, you have it. In the Shmita, you have it. In the Sirus, you have it. And he explains the Nesir Hashem. There's one point there which is so beautiful. Yisod, ki behirus ha'emunah. What is Yisod? Clarity of Emunah and faith by Hashem. That is Yisod. Total clarity
a belief in Hashem. And belief has many levels. We can believe in concepts. Of course, we know there's a bore in the world. And then there's belief for my soul. That everything that happens has a reason. Everything that happens has a cause. And everything that happens to me is for my good. So as the Lord points out very clearly, Yosef, Hatzadik, what was his secret that he was able to survive outside in the world? Because he had a clear relationship with Hashem that was unbreakable. That it was so clear to him that everything was a tzarasta. You don't find Yosef complaining ever. You don't see complaints. You see Yosef, think about it. His father sends him to his brothers, go see how they're doing. Maybe Yosef would say, by the way, huh? Did you just see? They don't really like me. Maybe I shouldn't go myself. Maybe send me with somebody. Help me out. No, Yosef goes. Listen, goes. Gets sold a bunch of times, goes down to Mitzrayim in jail. Yosef Tzadik gets appointed, goes up the ladder, second to the king, Yosef Tzadik. And all along, even when his brothers come down, after he reveals himself, the whole process, he treats them with respect, with their inheritance. Yosef Tzadik.
Well, excuse me, please.
No, he didn't give him grief. That was a way of testing to make sure that's a whole separate shmooze. We'll get to that in 2 weeks from now. Okay? No. There's a reason he had to do that in order to create shalom. He had to see that they were able to stand by the brothers of Rachel too. That everybody was able to be there for each other. There was a test. It wasn't just a test. He had to see it. Okay, not for now. We'll get to it. We'll get to it then. But Yosef was consistent. He wasn't complaining. He took his lot. And so Hashem is the very good point here. He says the following. So how was Yosef? We said, Hayom Ra'av Hayanav. Right? We said, Yosef, our existence really, how we got out of the shrine was because the sea split because of him. Because of that mitzvah with Potiphar, that he was able to run away. So listen to this. Hashem said, Ba Yidei, Shalom Hir Akar Shem Yitzvah. Because Yosef never fought, never had claims against Hashem after he was sold and embarrassed by the Shvatim being sold as a slave. The Hemen Kiakola Tova, and he believed that everything was for the good. That's why he was able to withstand that test and run outside. He already had the training that you embarrass yourself for HaKadosh Baruch Hu because whatever Hashem wants is for my good. I don't get embarrassed by these things. So when his master, his employer, right, is putting a lot of pressure on him, and he's going to run outside and he's going to be in a terribly embarrassing situation, it's going to happen. The Yosef wasn't a cheshbon, it wasn't a calculation, but the embarrassed and the courage. No, I do what's right. Because Hashem, I get embarrassed by Hashem, that's fine. Because what Hashem wants is fine. It's all for good. It's all going to play out for good. He says that helps him. And he was able to embarrass himself over Rosh Hashanah Boris Torah. We can learn so much from these words of the Torah. How we can accept everything that Hashem gives us with joy and love. That's what the Sar Shem says.
That's the answer to which question?
So this is the answer. Now we're going to explain what Yisod is. Yisod is Emunah, right? Emunah is that you accept everything that Hashem gives you with love, with simple, with joy and understanding, and it's all for my good. That is Yosef. The Matthias of Yosef, why Yosef saves Klaiksa. We're going back now. Ayom Ra'ab, what did the CC, the art of Yosef, it saw Vayanas Vayetia, that he went outside. It saw that Yosef was willing to do anything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and was accepting everything that Hashem gave him. That's what it saw. It saw that clear emunah that you saw, that Klal Yisrael needs of the Jew out in the workplace, the Jew outside of his comfort zone, being able to withstand his shadows. That's what the Yam saw. That's the foundation of Klal Yisrael forever in Golos as well, because that's where a lot of us are. That's what Yosef gives us. And he gives us even more. L'haydar su l'halo, said the Sasemes,
That's what I mean. Yosef, if anything, had the hardships. He should be hooked off. Why is he represented as Howell, the one who's openly praising Hashem and, like, it's all good? Because guess what? Yosef didn't complain. Yosef was Howell. Yosef was all good. And if anything, Yosef, they mean more. Always seeing more, adding more Tavonis Hashem, adding more Simcha, adding more Avas Hashem. That's what Yosef is doing, using every opportunity to create a Kiddush Hashem. That's the foundation of Christ. The foundation of Christ, so is learning in the Beis Medrash, going outside of the Beis Medrash as well, and making that learning count. Making that learning count that I learn how to live like he is. I learn how to make that Kiddush Hashem in the world. Because I understand wherever Hashem puts me, there's a reason I'm in this place at this moment, even if it doesn't seem to be exactly the way I thought. And even if maybe that promotion didn't come, or that other thing, or situations that we were put, which seem to be challenging situations at work, whatever it may be, those are all moments to make a Kiddush Hashem. Those are all moments where we can stand up and say, I may not understand what's happening right now at this very moment, but there is a Kiddush Hashem that's going to come out of this, depending on how we react. How do I react? How do I take that situation and turn it into something special? And that's what Yossi did. He saw everything in a good light. Saw everything in a positive light. And Yaakov understood that we needed this. Klal Yisrael needed this. This was Yossi who was going to be elevated to be that foundation of Klal Yisrael. We need that foundation, and we need the lessons that Yossi teaches us that we can do today too. It's not that hard. We have opportunities. There are many moments, there are many times and situations that we're in. Stop yourself for a second. One of my rabbis told me, I've said this before too, that when you're in a situation which is sometimes a challenging one, stop for a second and think of all the good things in your life too. Don't take anything for granted. Stop and think about the good things. Stop and think about the good things for a moment. Before you start fetching and complaining. That's step one. Step two, after you get yourself in the right frame of mind, then figure out, maybe I'm going through this challenging situation because something good is going to happen down the road. And maybe I just don't see it yet. And maybe this moment is just, it's a test. Yeah, it's a tough one. Maybe it's a challenge. But something good can come out of it. Something good can come out of everything. When you look at so many organizations today, so many chesed organizations in Klai Yisrael, so many places in Klai Yisrael started because someone was in a situation that was a challenging situation. Had someone started and someone saw someone die and he wasn't able to save them. Then he said, I have to go learn. I have to figure out how to save people. Right? Think about it. A person's put in a situation where you see that and you can be crushed and devastated and terrible, Hashem, how did I see this point? No, challenging situation means it challenges you to say where the opportunities are. What do I do with this? How do I make something out of this? How do I create something? You know, the old, you know, take lemon and make it lemonade. You know, how to go ahead and make it something real. Make it something real. I was just saying over last night, I was talking downtown for my Garfinkel Project 613, the outreach program. And so I was saying over a story about my Bobby. He's going to call up soon. And which is an incredible thing I was thinking about. And it hit me finally when I got older. And I always do the stories. I think I told some of you before. We have a couple minutes to go on. Sorry, we have 5 minutes, right?
3-1.
Okay, yeah. So the story goes back years ago. In 1939, Vienna, Austria, where she was living at the time, right before the war, trying to get out. And she told me the story that soldiers came to the door when they were applying for a visa. They were trying to get out still. They took her, they took my grandfather, and my father was 4 years old at the time, was just left alone. And the four-year-old boy, not knowing really where his play was, came running after the soldiers and started kicking them. I come from feisty stock, it seems like. And my father, you know, came in and he was kicking them, 4 years old. My grandmother said that moment was ready to put her hands on her eyes and just say, Shema, that's it, we're done. And for whatever reason,
And of course, we know it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His grace. The soldier said, Lazarus, leave the woman. And left her back with my father. Okay? And then my grandfather was returned, but he was beaten up badly, and unfortunately they did make it to America, but he was lifted shortly after and never recovered. My grandmother left alone with a six-year-old child, 5 and a half at the time, my father. In America, her support system was only one brother, who at that time had already, you know, become Americanized and secularized. And she's here alone. What's she going to do? And then I found out something even more startling when I went to Auschwitz 2 years ago. I was on a trip in Poland, and I was able to trace the history of our family and saw the in Yad Vashem over there, in one of the barracks there, they have a listing. And there are lists. My great-grandparents, we always knew that they were killed in the Holocaust. They knew exactly all the details, and I was able to find information. They were murdered in a place called the Tuwiska, Poland, in 1942. So both the parents were murdered. I then found out for the first time my grandmother had a sister that I never knew existed, was also murdered. A younger sister who was 23 at the time. And a brother and a sister-in-law that were killed at the same time. Okay. So then I stopped to reflect the last couple of years. Here's a woman, alone with a child, just lost her husband, parents, brother, sister-in-law, sister. One brother left from everybody. That's it. And she chooses to send her son to day school, to RJJ on the Lower East Side. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, what an incredible person. And she told me, she had such a moon in this world. And she told me, God had unskehitin. Hashem watched over us and saved us. I had to make sure that we're going to survive. And against all odds, all alone, losing everything, she saw the good and said, no, my little Chaim is going to learn Torah. My little Chaim is going to go to Yeshiva. That's Yosef. That's Yisod. Even with everything around you is bleak. You see the good still. You say, Hashem spared me. Hashem saved me. He saved me for a purpose. And I was only could say to you, or said to me at least, make your time count. Because Baruch Hu saves you for a reason. Do something with it.
Your father grew up without a father.
Correct. So I share the story. It's just not just... Obviously, it's a personal story, but it's also a limit of looking back at some of our past. Our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, looking at people who made sacrifices. But the meat of Yosef, the Amunah of the hero, is what the Yosef Shalom says, clear Amunah. So I have a challenging life. Does that mean I stop living Yiddishkeit? Does that mean I stop doing what I'm supposed to be doing to make the most out of every situation? No, it's a challenge. I go further. I go further and further and further. And I'm Hallel. I praise Hashem. As we walk into Hanukkah Sunday night, and Mitzvah Hashem, we get ready to be Hallel by Dah. Hoydah Shul Hallel. Shimcha Godol. For every opportunity we have to be close to Him, and every opportunity that we have to build off the Yisod of Yosef, the foundations of Yosef that He laid for us many years ago. Have a wonderful Shabbat.